Preparations are underway at resorts in the Cook Islands, expecting an influx of quarantine-free tourists from New Zealand in less than a fortnight. Tourism operators have been holding out for much-needed visitors, and there's elation with the announcement of a travel bubble with New Zealand starting on May the 17th, within the industry anyway. The opposition party is warning of the risks associated with opening the borders before the population is vaccinated. The Cook Islands Prime Minister Mark Brown says there have been enormous sacrifices made to keep COVID-19 out of the country and communities safe. Pre-COVID, tourism contributed more than $1 million a day to the Cook Islands economy, 65% of its total GDP. Samoa and Tonga are COVID-free, but time will tell which and when other realm countries will be able to welcome back tourists. But to discuss the travel green light confirmed now, Tu Rarotonga, Cook Islands Tourism Marketing Corporation and Chief Executive is Halotoa Fua. Kia arana and welcome back, Halotoa.
Kia ora, Glenda. Thank you for the opportunity.
And kia ora and kia arana to Marcus Nizau, who's the Chief Executive of the Pacific Resort Hotel Group.
Kia ora, Catherine from the Cook Islands. It's lovely to be here today.
Halotoa, this is what you've been waiting for. What is the reaction in the tourism sector?
The tourism is very thankful for the confirmation of an actual date. We now have the ability to restore livelihoods and some normality during COVID-19. Equally is the government's ability to stimulate the economy and to be able to meet its social obligations. I think it's also important to acknowledge the sentiments of the community. And vaccination is key to a lot of members in the community, and it was pleasing to hear Prime Minister Ardern discussing the vaccination rollout for the Cook Islands taking place in May 2021.
This is the concern that remains, and we heard it from the opposition leader again this morning. Vaccination rates are still comparatively low, and should you be waiting for the sake of the community, waiting until that vaccine program is done? Is that a sentiment that is felt by others in the community?
Yes, I believe they have heard this in the community. I think the from the outset, the quarantine-free travel arrangement was very clear that it has to be based on the travel arrangement between the two countries, similar to what you've seen in the Trans-Tasman. Fortunately, in this case, the vaccination will be rolled out fairly quickly, and this is a matter that we are working together with the New Zealand government to formalise this process. We also know that the vaccination is an additional layer to the protection once rolled out.
So what details do you have or are you working to about a vaccination programme that coincides with an opening in just 2 weeks' time?
Yes, I'm not privy to that detail yet, and I understand the two governments are working on that. But an actual date in May is not confirmed yet, but they're finalising the final programme for the vaccination rollout.
But are you optimistic it will be pretty close on the heels of, if not alongside, the opening of the bubble?
Yes, I'm fairly optimistic that would be the case.
All right. Let's talk about the impact that has been on businesses. Have we seen some fold, not able even with government support to sustain themselves?
Yes, I think for the last 12 months, a lot of the business sector has been fortunate for the support that they've been receiving from government. There has been all types of support, from wage subsidies to business grants, as well as individual businesses getting one-off subsidies. So I think it has been well received by the industry, and from what I understand is that the Ministry of Finance, while I'm not in the Ministry of Finance, they are working closely with New Zealand on further stimulating the economy through support. And what that will entail, we will find out in the next couple of weeks and months.
What could it entail?
Yeah, I think the discussions I'm not privy to at this stage, but I understand that the Ministry of Finance is working alongside the Chamber of Commerce to understand the real pressure points of the industry. And this is going to be, it's not going to be a support ends because the border's opening. It'll be a phasing out of support in terms of wage subsidies and all of that. But also looking at what are the other areas that government can help, whether it's regarding low interest rate loans, schemes or other business grants that would be quite fitting during this period.
Have most businesses in or allied to your industry furloughed or hibernated has been a phrase that's used here?
I think hibernation has been more the word that I can see, and I think Marcus can talk to that as well. And I think the business support has been the key determinant to try and keep businesses afloat during this period.
Marcus, do you want to come in?
Absolutely, yeah. It has been a difficult year, and we at Pacific Resort Hotel Group, who are the luxury resort group operators in the Cook Islands, have worked really hard to make the best of this very bad situation. And we ourselves are in a unique situation where we've been able to actually protect our workforce needs and requirements for reopening with proactive HR policies. And, of course, the generous support that we've had from the Cook Islands government through their economic response plan, and more specifically, the ongoing wage subsidy program. Prime Minister Brown and his government, they're to be commended for having the foresight and the vision to have this in place, because without that plan and the support, we just wouldn't be in the situation, in the position that we are today, 2 weeks away from reopening.
So has that wage subsidy carried on essentially uninterrupted throughout the life of the pandemic?
Absolutely, it has. It started and it's carried on, and it will continue on through to the end of June at this stage, which is a huge plus, because we're definitely, even upon reopening, the demand and the occupancy levels that we're anticipating will take time to rebuild, and our government has that foresight to support, obviously, business as a whole in terms of the importance of growing our economy and getting back to where we were pre-COVID.
What do you anticipate with respect to numbers, first in May with the reopening on the 17th, and then perhaps as you get into some school holiday areas, what are you planning for the numbers?
So we're anticipating a progressive rebuild in occupancy. A lot of it is limited to what Air New Zealand will do with flight capacity. That's the limiting factor. At this stage, we've got indication that from the 17th of May onwards, they're planning to have 3 flights a week upgauged from a narrow body to a wide body aircraft. That'll help address a lot of our freight capacity issues we've been seeing recently. Their intention at Air New Zealand is to ramp up to dailies by July. But in all honesty, with the level of inquiry demand that we've seen since the announcement yesterday, I wouldn't be surprised that Air New Zealand would ramp this up much earlier.
What sort of demand are you seeing? What sort of inquiries are you getting?
Since the announcement yesterday, our sales and reservations inquiry response has been phenomenal. We knew that there was pent-up demand there. We were anticipating that there was pent-up demand for a tropical island getaway destination out of New Zealand, and the response so far really confirms that.
Can you quantify it?
We've had to shift all our sales and marketing resources, everybody right onto deck to manage the emails, the inquiries. It's phenomenal. We haven't seen this level of activity ever, I think.
Hundreds or thousands of inquiries?
Well, we do run relatively small resorts, ranging from, you know, a 14-room villa property to a 64-room largest, and we're talking about hundreds of inquiries already.
And actual bookings?
And bookings, yes, yep. Absolutely. The bookings are coming through thick and fast.
What's happening with staffing, Marcus? Because this has been the other very serious impact on the Cook Islands. Once the one-way bubble opened, we know that literally hundreds of Cook Islanders came to New Zealand seeking work. I think 300, and that was late March, was what a researcher had identified. Have you lost possibly some of your workers to New Zealand, and what will you do, if so, to try and entice some back?
Like, as I mentioned earlier, in our case at Pacific Resort Hotel Group, we are in a unique situation where we were able to protect our workforce. And, you know, during the year that we've been in hibernation, all our team members have undergone extensive retraining, cross-training in all areas of our business. We've managed to spend, you know, substantial amounts on refurbishing and getting our product to the best possible standard. So in our case, we've retained a substantial amount of our pre-COVID workforce to the extent that what we have reopening is what we anticipate we'll need for the next 6 to 12 months as occupancy and demand rebuilds. That is a unique situation, as I understand it, compared to other businesses on the island. We are one of the larger operators, but the smaller operators probably haven't had the luxury or the opportunity to have HR programs and the ability to retain staff. And we have seen many Cook Islanders in particular leave the Cook Islands and head over to New Zealand. That's a real challenge because getting them back is very difficult.
Can I bring you back in? Thank you, Marcus. Can I bring you back in, Halatoa, for across the whole industry, what is the challenge of a workforce that may have moved to New Zealand in some numbers?
Yes, I think it's a challenge that we do acknowledge since we've opened up the one-way quarantine free travel arrangement in January. And what we can will assess in the next couple of weeks and months is it'll be all demand-based. So with a much higher demand, it will see that there's going to be more work to try and incentivize labour back, whether that's through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Immigration or foreign labour, and as well as Cook Islanders. And as we know, Cook Islanders, it's a transient population here in the Cook Islands. And I think if there's a quick restoration of the economy, you'll see some of them might be coming back to be living here in the Cook Islands.
What has been the flow-on effects to the broader economy? As we said, you're so exposed to tourism. It's two-thirds of your GDP. So not only is that a big financial hit, including to the government's books, but obviously it is the source of a lot of business for hospitality and other related businesses, you know, for suppliers. What has been the wider impact?
Yeah, the impact has been cushioned by the economic response plan that's been rolled out by government in the last year. And it hasn't been as severe as a lot of people have anticipated as what we've seen in other countries. So we've been fortunate to have that. There has been a lot of focus in trying to diversify the economy as part of the economic response plan from the Ministry of Finance. They've also introduced a smart tech as well as the agri-tech funding pool that's been available to the wider population. So there has been a lot of new initiatives in the agriculture space as well as digital and online to try and stimulate some sort of economic activity during this time.
You mentioned then the extensive support the government has given. This obviously is going to have an effect on its books. I know we're getting probably a little bit out of your brief, but is this where there really needs to be conversations with New Zealand about assisting the Cook Islands government with its financial challenges?
Yes, you're correct, Glenn, and I think this is where the discussions about the pent-up demand that we're seeing now, how does that translate into economic stimulation in the next couple of months? And the government will assist in where the gaps are financially that they can look at support with the likes of New Zealand.
All right, so what's the plan for May 17th? There's always a very, very warm welcome to tourists in the Cooks, but there'll be a particular one this time, Halatoa.
Yeah, I think it's a very exciting time for all of us, but it's also in a different time of new travel norms, so we're also mindful of being vigilant. That's something that we continue to get across through our messaging, is that we remain to be vigilant. But the excitement for us to get visitors on our shores is felt by everyone, and it's something that we're very thankful and grateful for, especially in the last 14, 15 months, there has been no sort of visitors back then. So a very exciting time for the Cook Islands, we will ensure.
Yes, just to both of you, what is the planning? Were there to be cases? One presumes there have been briefings for everybody and specifically for your industry as to how to handle a case. No one wants that to happen. But what is the contingency planning and your role in it? Marcus?
Yeah, we have all the necessary protocols in place as advised by our TMO, local health authorities, as well as following WHO guidelines. So very similar to what's in place in New Zealand as we move through the different level. Now that we are mirroring the alert level system with New Zealand, we have everything on standby just as any business would in New Zealand, and we're prepared from an industry perspective, to react and respond accordingly as situations unfold.
So do you have a managed isolation facility on standby?
That would be for Halotua.
Halotua?
Yes, yes, we do. So as part of the Ministry of Health surge capacity planning, they have a tier system of MIQ ready in regards to any size of the outbreak. And so those plans is that we'll be coming out in the next couple of days and weeks with a communication, questions and answers to the public on what does this really mean if we get to that stage here in the Cook Islands.
Thank you very much. Halotua Fua. Thanks also to Marcus Niso. It is 24 minutes past 9 on 9 to Noon, both heavily involved in tourism in the Cook Islands. Let's talk now to Vanessa Marsh, who is chairperson of the Niue Tourism Board. Whakalofa atu, Vanessa. Thank you so much for your time.
Whakalofa atu. Thank you for having me this morning.
Now, Niue, of course, is another possible travel bubble for New Zealand, and again, an important part of your economy, tourism. Where are you at with your thinking about readiness and conversations with New Zealand about readiness for a travel bubble?
Those conversations are actually being held at government-to-government level. Our role here as part of the Tourism Office is to ensure that we can work with the community and our industry stakeholders in ensuring that they are ready and prepared for eventually when the travel bubble is announced. From what we've been able to keep informed of with our government and the officials, there is no set date for us that we have been advised of just yet. We know that there are plans and processes being put in place that will eventually allow Niue to open its borders to travel. But our role in this at the moment is just to support and assist our tourism operators and our community to prepare for that.
How is that happening? I've seen Niue's Premier Dalton Tangalangi cited as waiting to see how successful the Cook Islands bubble is before perhaps the country pushes for its own. So, you know, this is an interesting moment, isn't it, with the Cook Islands opening for other Pacific nations to say, right, how is this going to work? So it sounds like it's a bit of wait and see. For you trying to help the industry get ready, what practical things are you doing?
We have been able to secure some funding assistance, which we've classified as Tourism Operators Readiness and Preparedness funding for our industry stakeholders. So we've recognised that over the last tourism season where we haven't had one, obviously there has been time for our operators to perhaps work on some maintenance and improvements to their tourism product and service. But we do know that not having tourists coming, that it does place a bit of a hibernation state on some of our businesses, and that can result in some of our starting to deteriorate a little bit. So the funding that's been made available to the operators will allow them to perhaps really getting a bit more maintenance and improvement to their accommodation, for example. When the borders are open, they are ready. From another perspective, the tourism office.
All right. Just starting to lose the line there, little Vanessa. It's just starting to degrade a little. But I understand that there's been some funding to assist those businesses begin to get ready. It seems like it's very much a wait and see for Niue. But thank you for being with us. Vanessa Marsh, chairperson of the Niue Tourism Board.